Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yavamas, Daf Kuf Chaf Beis, the 16th Perek, Isha Basra, and the final Daf of the Masechta. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states regarding testifying to a man's death to permit his wife to remarry, Masin Alpi Baskol. We permit a woman to remarry based on a Baskol without the person making the statement being seen. There was an incident where someone stood on top of a mountaintop and proclaimed, Ish Pony Ben Pony Mamakam Pony Mace. Pony Ben Pony from such and such a place died. They went up and found no one there, yet the Rabbanim permitted the wife to remarry. When they were asked why she was permitted to remarry, when perhaps the voice was that of a shade, a demon, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rab, Shera'u lo demus adam. The case was where the people who heard the voice saw a human form. When the more account to that shade also had a human form, it answers that the people saw the shadow of the speaker. When again the Gemara objects, since Shadim also have shadows, and answers they saw the shadow of the shadow. And Rav Chinin related that Yonas in the shade said that demons do not have shadows of shadows. Point number two, the next Mishnah teaches Rabbi Akiva originally held that we do not permit a woman to remarry based on the testimony of a woman, slave or shivcha. The final Mishnah of the Masechta brings the challenge that was brought to Rabbi Akiva based on an incident where one from a group of Levim who were traveling got sick and was brought to an inn. When the group returned later to the inn and asked where their colleague was, the woman innkeeper said he had died and she had buried him, and based on that testimony, his wife was permitted to remarry. Rabbi Akiva was asked, "Vlote kohenes kubundakis? Now should a kohenes not be believed like the woman innkeeper?" Rabbi Akiva replied, "Kishate kubundakis ne'emenes. When her testimony will be like the woman innkeeper, she'll be believed. Hapundakis hotziu lehem makuv v'tarmiu v'sefer Torah. For the woman innkeeper brought out the Levi staff, pouch, and sefer Torah that he had." The Gemara clarifies that the pundakis was an idolater, umasicho l'fituma, and she was speaking offhandedly, and that's why she was believed. When the Gemara challenges this, since they had asked her where their friend was, it answers that as soon as she saw them, she started to cry, which is what prompted them to ask where he was. And point number three, it's taught in the Braisa, "Ein bodkin eini nashim medrisha v'chakira." We do not check witnesses who testify for women that their husbands died with cross-examination and questioning, according to Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Tarfon says, "Bodkin, we do check them." The Gemara clarifies that the Machlokas is based on understanding how to apply what Rabbi Chanina said, which was Dvar Torah Echod Dini Memonas VeEchod Dini Nefashos BeDrisha VeChakira. Under Torah law, both monetary and capital cases get Drisha VeChakira, for the Pasuk states, Mishpat Echod Yehlechem. There should be one law for you. The reason the Rabbanan said that aiding for monetary cases do not get checked is Sholotino Delos Bifnei Lovin, so that you will not close the door in the face of borrowers. Rabbi Akiva holds that since in the case of testifying that a woman's husband died, there'll be a collection of the ksuba, it's like a monetary case. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon holds that since we're permitting the woman to marry someone else, it's similar to dinu nefashos. Rashi explains that it's because a man who has relations with a married woman gets chenek, strangulation. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, the next Mishnah states regarding testifying to a man's death to permit his wife to remarry, masin al pi basko. We permit a woman to remarry based on a basko without the person making the statement being seen. There was an incident where someone stood on top of a mountaintop and proclaimed, Ish Pony Ben Pony Mamakam Pony Mace. Pony Ben Pony from such and such a place died. They went up and found no one there, yet the Rabbanim permitted the wife to remarry. When they were asked why she was permitted to remarry, when perhaps the voice was that of a shade, a demon, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rab, Shera'u lo demus adam. The case was where the people who heard the voice saw a human form. When the more account to that shade also had a human form, it answers that the people saw the shadow of the speaker. When again the Gemara objects, since Shadim also have shadows, and answers they saw the shadow of the shadow. And Rav Chinin related that Yonas in the shade said that demons do not have shadows of shadows. Point number two, the next Mishnah teaches Rabbi Akiva originally held that we do not permit a woman to remarry based on the testimony of a woman, slave or shivcha. The final Mishnah of the Masechta brings the challenge that was brought to Rabbi Akiva based on an incident where one from a group of Levim who were traveling got sick and was brought to an inn. When the group returned later to the inn and asked where their colleague was, the woman innkeeper said he had died and she had buried him, and based on that testimony, his wife was permitted to remarry. Rabbi Akiva was asked, "Vlote kohenes kubundakis? Now should a kohenes not be believed like the woman innkeeper?" Rabbi Akiva replied, "Kishate kubundakis ne'emenes. When her testimony will be like the woman innkeeper, she'll be believed. Hapundakis hotziu lehem makuv v'tarmiu v'sefer Torah. For the woman innkeeper brought out the Levi staff, pouch, and sefer Torah that he had." The Gemara clarifies that the pundakis was an idolater, umasicho l'fituma, and she was speaking offhandedly, and that's why she was believed. When the Gemara challenges this, since they had asked her where their friend was, it answers that as soon as she saw them, she started to cry, which is what prompted them to ask where he was. And point number three, it's taught in the Braisa, "Ein bodkin eini nashim medrisha v'chakira." We do not check witnesses who testify for women that their husbands died with cross-examination and questioning, according to Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Tarfon says, "Bodkin, we do check them." The Gemara clarifies that the Machlokas is based on understanding how to apply what Rabbi Chanina said, which was Dvar Torah Echod Dinim Emonos VeEchod Dinim Nefashos BeDrisha VeChakira. Under Torah law, both monetary and capital cases get Drisha VeChakira. But the Pasuk states, Mishpat Echod Yehilechem. There should be one law for you. The reason the Rabbanan said that aiding for monetary cases do not get checked is Shulotino Delos Bifnei Lovin, so that you will not close the door in the face of borrowers. Rabbi Akiva holds that since in the case of testifying that a woman's husband died, there'll be a collection of the ksuba, it's like a monetary case. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon holds that since we're permitting the woman to marry someone else, it's similar to dinin nefashos. Rashi explains that it's because a man who has relations with a married woman gets chenek, strangulation. All right, so now we go to our simon daf kufcha base, and our standard simon is corn on the cob. Corn on the cob. So here goes. After a bus call on the mountain was heard that said, Kiwi, the corn on the cob salesman, is dead. The witnesses met up with the woman innkeeper who said she had buried him, and here was his butter knife and dental floss, were not cross-examined with drishas and chakiras because his wife was collecting her kasuba. Once again, it's slow motion. After a bus call on the mountain was heard that said, Kiwi, the corn on the cob salesman, is dead. Corn on the cob? That must move on daf kufcha beis. After a bus call in the mountain was heard that said, Kiwi, the corn on the cob salesman, is dead, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states regarding testifying to a man's death to permit his wife to remarry, masin al pi bus call. We permit a woman to remarry based on a bus call, without the person making the statement being seen. There was an incident where someone stood on top of a mountaintop and proclaimed, Ish pony ben pony, mamakum pony mace. Pony ben pony from such and such a place died. They went up and found no one there, yet the Rabbanim permitted the wife to remarry. When the Gemara asks why she was permitted to remarry when perhaps the voice was that of a shade, a demon, it concludes that they saw the shadow of the shadow. And Rabbi Chanina related that Jonas in the shade said that demons do not have shadows of shadows. So, after a bus call on the mountain was heard that said, Kiwi, the corn on the cob salesman, is dead, the witnesses who met up with a woman innkeeper who said she had buried him, and here was his butter knife and dental floss, which reminds us, the next mission teaches that Rabbi Akiva originally held that we do not permit a woman to remarry based on the testimony of a woman, slave, or shivcha. The final mission of the Masechta brings the challenge that was brought to Rabbi Akiva based on the incident where the woman innkeeper was believed that a guest from a group of Levim had died since she brought the Levi's staff, pouch, and sefer Torah that he had. The Gemara clarifies that the Pundakis was an idolater, Masikha Lafituma, and she was speaking offhandedly, and that's why she was believed. When the Gemara challenges this, since they had asked her where her friend was, it answers that as soon as she saw him, she started to cry, which is what prompted them to ask where he was. So after a bus call on the mountain was heard that said, Kiwi, the corn on the cob salesman, is dead. The witnesses who met up with the woman innkeeper who said she had buried him, and here was his butter knife and dental floss, were not cross-examined with drishas and chakiras because his wife was collecting her ksuba. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, ein bodkin eidin nashim bedrisha v'chakira. We do not check witnesses who testify for women that their husbands died with cross-examination and questioning, according to Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Tarfon says, bodkin, we do check them, even though Dvar Torah Echod Dinim Emonos VeEchod Dinim Nefashos BeDrisha VeChakira. Under Torah law, both monetary and capital cases get Drisha VeChakira. For the Pasuk states, Mishpat Echod Yelechem, there should be one law for you. The reason the Rabbanan said the witnesses for monetary cases do not get checked is Shulotino Delos Bifnei Lovin, so you'll not close the door in the face of borrowers. Rabbi Akiva holds that since in the case of testifying that a woman's husband died, there's a collection of the ksuba, it's like a monetary case. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon holds that since we're permitting the woman to marry someone else, it's similar to dinin nefashos. And Rashi explains that it's because a man who has relations with a married woman gets chenek, strangulation. So once again, after a bus call on the mountain was heard that said, Kiwi, the corn on the cob salesman, is dead. The witnesses who met up with a woman innkeeper who said she had buried him, and here was his butter knife and dental floss, were not cross-examined with drishas and chakiras because his wife was collecting her ksuba. Hadron Alachi Isha Basra Uslikalam Masechas Yavamas. Mazel Tov, everyone. I'm being Messiah Masechas Yavamas, the 14th Masechta in this Daf Yomi Machzor. A grand total of 121 blot, 363 yediyas, now organized in our mind for efficient review and long-term retention using simanim. This is a major accomplishment, certainly one of the tougher Masechtas in Shas, and definitely the toughest one to date to summarize and develop simanim for. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to bench us with Hatzlach in our learning and Chazara. May we continue to go Mechayel Chaos, begin the next Masechta, Masechas Ksubas, and be Zoch to make a kinyan in all of Shas together with simanim. All right, now it's time for 4 Blot Back Chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Ches is Kichel. So here goes. When the Tzavos came back from overseas and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring, and Kichel, Kichel, that must mean one Daf Kuf Yud Ches. When the tsars came back from overseas and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and kichel, and the second one said he did not die, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amabay stated regarding two tsars who were overseas with their husband and then returned, if one of the wives said regarding her husband he died and then one said he did not die, the one who says he died may marry and collect ksuba, and the one who said he did not die may not marry nor collect ksuba. The Gemara answers that the case of the second tsar saying he did not die was needed, for we might have thought that the second tsar knows that the husband is dead. But she said he did not die, because she intends to ruin the first tsara, hoping that she'll have to remain an aguna, even though she's hurting herself as well. And she's saying, like Shimshon said, Tamus nafshi im plishtim, let my soul die with the plishtim. Therefore, the Mishnah is teaching that in this case, the second tsara can still not remarry. So when the tsars came back from overseas and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and kichel, and the second one said he did not die, Basin recalled how this man was Makadosh, one of five women with kichel, which reminds us the third Mishnah on the Daf states, Kiddush Achaz Machamish Nashim, Me'ein Yedeh Ezi Kiddush, if one was Makadosh, one of five women does not know which one he was Makadosh, and each one says, Osi Kiddush, he was Makadosh me, he gives a get to each one and places a ksuba payment between them and withdraws a coin to Rabbi Tarf. The Mefarshim explained that he doesn't literally place the money between them, but rather he places the money before them in Basin and challenges each one to prove that she's the one who's entitled to ksuba. Rabbi Kiva says, this way we'll not get him out of doing an avera until he gives a get and the ksuba payment to each and every one. A similar case is brought regarding a man who stole from one of five people and can't remember who, and they all claim that he stole from them. So when the tsars came back from overseas and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and kichel, and the second one said he did not die, Basin recalled how this man was Makadosh, one of five women with kichel. And even though he always complained the kichel wasn't crispy enough, his wives preferred to stay married to him instead of being single. Which reminds us, the Gemara taught that if one grants a get to his wife through a third party, in a place where there's strife between the husband and the wife, it's not a schus for the wife. As Reish Lakish said, Tavu mesav tanduma lo mesav armula, it's better to live as two bodies than to live alone. A woman prefers to stay in a difficult marriage than to be single. Daf Kuf Yud Tes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Tes is a kite. So here goes. The woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite, that must be one Daf Kuf Yud Tes. The woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tsar was pregnant, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Ha'isha Shahalach Ba'alav Tzarasu Midian Siyam, a woman whose husband and tsara went overseas and people came and said to her, your husband died, she can't marry a stranger nor be taken in Yibum until she determines whether her tsar is pregnant. The Gemara asks, why she may not marry a stranger? If the concern is that her tsar may not be pregnant so that she's chai to be taken in Yibum, I could say, follow the majority of women, and the majority of women do conceive and give birth. Therefore, it's safe to assume that Tsar gave birth to a viable child overseas, and she's exempt from Yibum and permitted to a stranger. The Gemara says the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir, the Chai Shel Miyuta, who's concerned for the minority. But according to the Rabban, who go according to the majority, the widow would be permitted to a stranger. So, the woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tsar was pregnant, was embarrassed when it flew over 9 kosher stores in one treflin and landed on a piece of meat, which reminds us, the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah could even be in accordance with the Rabbanan. For when do they go after the robe? It's only in a case of Ruba de Eitz Kaman, a robe that is before us, like the cases of 9 stores or Sanhedrin. The case of 9 stores is when meat is found in the street, and it's not known whether it comes from one of 9 stores that sells kosher meat or from the one store that sells treif. But in both cases, the majorities are before us, and we can rule the meat is kosher and the person is acquitted. But in a case where the majority is not before us, such as in our case, where the majority is based on the premise that most women in the world conceive and give birth, the Rabbanan do not follow the majority. The Gemara rejects as proving that the Rabbanan go with Rove even when the majority is not before us. So, the woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tsar was pregnant, was embarrassed when it flew over 9 kosher stores in one treflin and landed on a piece of meat, right in between the wives of two brothers who claimed their husbands had passed away. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if the wives of two brothers return from overseas, and this one says, my husband died, and this one says, my husband died, zo asur mifnei ba'al shozo, zo asur mifnei ba'al shozo. This one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of that one's husband, and that one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of this one's husband. Rashi explains that each woman is prohibited, for perhaps each brother-in-law is alive, and they are chayv and yibum. They cannot rely on each other's testimony, since we learn in the Mishnah that one of the women who is not believed to give testimony that another woman's husband has died is her yibimta, her brother-in-law's wife. Daf Kuf Chaf, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Chaf is a cook. So here goes. The cook, that must be learned Daf Kuf Chaf. The cook at the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, which reminds us, it was Todd and Bryce if witnesses only see a corpse's forehead without the form of a face, or only the form of the face without the forehead, they may not testify ad shushneim mimachotem until both are seen together with the nose. So the cook of the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, discovered he had the same birthday and same mole as the victim, which reminds us, Rabbi rejected Abaye's interpretation of a machlokas and said that everyone agrees that simanim are valid in the raisa, but here in the case of the mole, they disagree b'shuma matsuya b'mengila with a mole, which is commonly found in the same part of the body as one's bengilo, which Rashi explains as someone born at the same hour and therefore has the same mazel. The Rabbanan hold that a mole is commonly found on a ben gila, and therefore is not a valid simon to identify the corpse, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Mahavai holds a mole is not commonly found. The Gemara brings alternative versions of Rava's explanation. So the cook at the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, discovered he had the same birthday and same mole as the victim, who had been tragically attacked in his vital organs by a wild beast, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, "Ein me'iden el adshetetzei nafsho." They may not testify that a man is dead until they see that his soul has departed, even though they saw him suffering from being hacked, or hanging from a gallows, or devoured by a wild beast. Reviewed a set of names regarding the wild beast, they taught this only when the animal is seen eating from an area in the body from which the soul does not depart, referring to non-vital organs or limbs. But from a place where the soul departs, meaning the vital organs, such as the brain, heart, or intestines, they may testify. Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. So the simmer Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph is a cocoa bean farmer. So here goes. When Pedro the cocoa bean farmer, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. When Pedro the cocoa bean farmer fell into the pool of cave water, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nafal Amayim, if a man fell into water and was not seen to come up, Ben She'esh Lehensov, Ben She'ein Lehensov, Ishto Asura, whether the water has an end or the water has no end, his wife is forbidden to marry, for he still may be alive. Abai defines water that has an end as Kol She'omed V'roa Ma'arba Ruchoseh, any body of water small enough that one stands in one place and can see its four sides. Rashi gives the example of one who sees someone fall into a pool of water in a cave where he can see all its banks. So when Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, fell into the pool of cave water, he grabbed onto a daf and bowed his head whenever a wave came. Which reminds me of Gamliel related what Rabbi Kiva said to him in explaining how he was saved from a sinking ship. Rabbi Gamliel said, he said to me, Daf shel sfinin nizdamanli. There was a daf, a board from the ship that came before me, and I grabbed onto it. And before every wave that came upon me, I bowed my head and it passed over me. The Brisa continues that if Rashaim come upon a person, let him bow his head before them and the danger will pass. Rashi explains that he should restrain himself and not antagonize them. So, when Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, fell into the pool of cave water, he grabbed onto a daf and bowed his head whenever a wave came, while watching off in the distance the young girl being pulled out of the water by an elderly man with a ram. Which reminds us, Gemara relates the story of Rabbi Chinna ben Dosa davening for the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Shichin, Nechunya the ditch digger, who fell into a cistern, and after davening for her, she emerged. They said to Rabbi Chinna ben Dosa that he was a Navi, to which he responded that he was not. Rather, he reasoned, Davrusha, Tzadik Mesasik Bo, Yechashu Bo Zaro, is it possible that something a Tzadik occupies himself for the Tzibur, his child should stumble upon it? The Gemara addresses, how then did Nechunya's son die of thirst? All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.